Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
The silly season underway in the NBA, the supernatural meets the bizarre, the unusual, the surreal. It's draft week with all the rumors going everywhere, and the latest rumor du jour being tossed out involves the Houston Rockets. Well, it's actually damage control by Daryl Morey, the GM of the Rockets. Remember, they were the hot story a couple of weeks ago about how they were going to unload one of their star players. With Daryl Morey speaking out about the supposed bad blood, the brouhaha that took place in the Rockets locker room there. If you did not hear about this, I'll fill you in. I'll get you caught up to speed. So Daryl Morey said that he takes these reports of tension between Chris Paul and James Harden as a positive. He said, now, why would that be? Morey claimed because it means that both of these players want to win. They're winners, and they want to win. I'm paraphrasing some of that. But he spoke in a radio interview, Daryl Morey, and said that Chris Paul had not asked to be traded from the Rockets. He claimed that everyone is just frustrated. That everyone in the organization is frustrated because they couldn't get past Golden State, and now Golden State is falling apart because of their injuries. But shortly after that, here's the great thing about this. You know, I mentioned that you can throw anything out there, and this is the week where everyone will buy it. And the example of that is shortly after Daryl Morey gave the spiel and spilled his guts about how it's okay, it's all good. Well, he changed his tune a little bit because shortly after that radio spot, reports indicated that Houston had held preliminary trade talks involving Chris Paul and also Clint Capella, which is a guy that we talked about a couple of weeks back when this story first popped up. So we'll get into it just to prove that I wasn't lying when I paraphrased what Daryl Morey had to say. Here is a little sound of Morey on a radio interview on the Entertainment and Sports Network commenting on the Rockets' Chris Paul.
Does Chris Paul want to be traded?
No, he doesn't want to be traded. There's been a lot of reports about how they had tension. It's been odd to me because, you know, really two high level competitors, they're gonna have tension on the bench. I mean, it's gonna happen, and it probably happened, you know, 30-40 times last year where the team on the bench is having a heated discussion about how to beat the other team. I don't know why. I think it's because obviously the situation magnified. Game 6, our last game of the season, maybe that's where this comes from, but it's really surprising to see all the noise about that.
All right, so here's my takeaway. He's lying, okay? That's my takeaway. He's lying. Daryl Morey's lying, okay? I don't think it's that outrageous. It's, you know, that they all lie. Everyone in sports lies to some degree or another. But that just, I feel like I need to take a bubble bath after listening to Daryl Morey's talk there. So let's get into it. Listen, we obviously understand that Chris Paul is an option to be traded this offseason from the Rockets, and they would certainly consider that. So the question, what are the chances that Chris Paul, forget Clint Capella, we'll get to him in a second, but as far as Chris Paul, because he's the headliner, what are the chances that Chris Paul is traded this offseason? So the odds are not zero. We know the odds are not zero. The odds are not great either because of the contract that Chris Paul has that crossed the bear that Chris Paul got from the Rockets ownership last year, but I've said the odds at plus 300 Chris Paul gets traded, which implies a 25% chance that CP3 is sent packing to some other outpost in the boondocks of the NBA. So my views on this, you've got the dreidel, the Bible, and three-card Monty. And we will combine all of this together and we'll make some Tex-Mex is what we're going to do. All right, now, first of all, the Rockets are in a very awkward position because Chris Paul was brought in with all this fanfare and pomp and circumstance, future Hall of Famer, NBA royalty. He's been there a couple years, and the Grim Reaper is a-knocking at the door. Yeah, that's the success of Chris Paul's career there. Not going so well. And so the end of the road, you can see. You're not at the end of the road with Chris Paul, but you can see it. You know, you don't need binoculars. You know what I'm talking about? Like you don't even have to have great vision. You don't have to be a 20/20 vision person. You can see it. Even if you need glasses, without your glasses, you can see the end of the road. The end of the road. And so Daryl Morey can go on radio and knock down these reports and spin this story like a dreidel. Spin it, spin it, spin it, spin it, all he wants, right? But nobody with an IQ above 40 believes that Daryl Morey is being honest, right? He's giving a version of the truth, but not the actual truth. The writing is on the wall here, and it is not graffiti. It is, hey, we'd love to trade him. The Rockets, if they were to unload CP3, right? If they were to do that, they would have a gigantic celebration. They would. They'd have a blowout party. No matter what the propaganda minister there, Daryl Morey, has to say here, he is attempting to use some diplomacy and statesmanship, I guess. Plus, he also knows, even if the Rockets do want to trade Chris Paul, which I truly believe they do, it takes a couple of people to do the tango. You can't just do the tango by yourself. So they need someone else to do the tango. It's all part of the art of the deal. Chris Paul's contract is so high. How high is it? It's so high, Chris Paul's contract, okay, that it should be illegal. He's going to make $38 million next season, $38 million, and then it goes up to $41 million, and then the year after that, $44 million. Now, to my knowledge, he did not put a knife to the throat of Daryl Morey. He did not put a gun to the head of the Rockets owner. They chose to give him this contract. So they're the idiots. But Chris Paul, he's in the position. If they pay you $38 million, Houston can trade his ass to Cleveland for $38 million and let him sit on the woe-begone cadavers. And that's how it's going to go. Now, secondly, the Rockets owner, this Tillman Fertitta, or Fertitta, the guy that owns the Rockets, the casino magnate.
Who?
I don't know. He bought the team a year ago or something like that, 2 years ago. But the guy that owns the Rockets, he has said, according to the media reports here, that he has had regrets. He has told other NBA executives that one of his regrets as the owner of the Rockets is forking over $160 million to Chris Paul, which is completely understandable. He is 34 years old now. He's past his athletic prime. His injury chart reads like Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, the newest Laker, who has had 25 injuries in 8 years. Now, Chris Paul's been around longer, but he has missed time with the wrist, the thumb, the ankle, the foot, broken hand, groin injury. He's got the knee injury, but not to be confused with a kneecap, because he also hurt his kneecap. He's had the middle finger problem, the hamstring, and the concussion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, his injury rap sheet, Chris Paul's injury rap sheet, is longer than some Bibles. It is 4 pages. There are 4 pages dedicated on the injury history of Chris Paul to how many games he's missed with different injuries and how many things have popped up. And the production, right? The production of CP3 has fallen into the abyss. It's in the Grand Canyon here. And what is my evidence? Chris Paul's field goal percentage, his three-point percentage, his scoring average, his rebounding average. You know what they all have in common? They all went down last season. Those are some important statistics. And his assist total was close to the same. So now, 3 years removed, 3 years removed from his prime with the Clippers, Chris Paul is a shell of the guy that he had been back in Lob City with the Clips. Now, the final thought, put a bow on this. So what is the Rockets' strategy here with Chris Paul? Now, my theory on this is it's simple. When you are trying to foist a terrible contract like Chris Paul onto another team, what you have to do is play the role of the carnival huckster. Right, you have to. When I first went to New York, my brothers lived in New York for years, but when I first went to Manhattan, Times Square was filled with peep shows and three-card Monty games. It was a wild place. And I recall watching some of these three-card Monty games in Times Square when I first went there years ago. That's what the Rockets have to do. The Rockets have to hold, Daryl Morey has to hold his own three-card Monty game. And you look for the easy mark. Right? You put your thumb on the scale, right? It's an old trick. Put your thumb on the scale. Now, the whispers say that Houston would like to pawn off CP3 to the Lakers. Makes a lot of sense, right? CP3 and LeBron are banana boat buddies. When you have the banana boat brotherhood, you are friends for life. And we know that they like to smoke stogies together, because a couple weeks ago there was a barbecue at LeBron's place and Chris Paul showed up to smoke a stogie. And he's got ties to L.A. He likes to hang out, Chris Paul, with Ellen, right? It's hard to do that when you play in Houston. So if he goes to the Lakers, he can hang out with his old friend Ellen. And the Lakers roster, I think they have five players on their roster right now. The cupboards are bare in terms of point guard play. They traded Lonzo Ball. Josh Hart is gone. So there is a need there. And we know Rob Pelinka has a lot of Dingleberry in him. So he's got certainly Dingleberry tendencies. I don't know about Linda Rambis. I don't know about that. But you can certainly catch Pelinka asleep at the switch here and make it happen. Now, the odds of CP3 going to L.A. would be higher if Rich Paul was his agent. That's not the case, because Rich Paul's a deal maker. Rich Paul would pull some strings to make it happen. Now, if not the Lakers, where else could CP3 go? Logical destinations, the Dallas Mavericks as a possibility. The Charlotte Hornets, if Kemba Walker ends up going somewhere else, that's a possibility. Now, there's only a 25% chance that Chris Paul gets traded. There's a higher chance that Clint Capella goes somewhere else. He's also got a massive contract. Man, I wish the Rockets owner was my boss. He's given everyone a big contract. Wouldn't that be great to have this guy as your boss? Clint Capella, who had like one good season in the NBA, and he signed an $80 million contract with the Rockets. And his numbers weren't terrible last year, but people look at him like he's not quite worth the money. The return on investment is not that great. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show on Fox. We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas, Solid Gold, 9 to 5, Corporate, Jar Jar, Garcia.
So let me get this straight. Yep. If two teammates don't get along, they just want to win. Is that
is what Daryl Morey claimed, the Rockets GM there.
So all the guys,
you can trust him, right?
The guys who do get along, they don't want to win.
Now hold on. Now, Eddie, to be clear here, the reason the Rockets want to trade Chris Paul is not because him and James Harden don't like each other or had an issue. They want to trade him because he's not that good and he's making a lot of money. That's why they should want to trade him. Like, I don't think you don't have to get along with everyone. You can have battles and still win.
But it's just,
I'm sure
so
there's guys in Toronto didn't particularly care for each other. They won the NBA Finals.
Or maybe they did. Maybe they did like each other. And look, they did plenty of winning.
It's a melting pot, the locker room. You put everyone in there. There's going to be some guy that doesn't like somebody else. Their body odor. They fart too much. There's something in there, Eddie. I'm telling you. I've seen it. I live
that.
They
fart too much?
Well, I used to be around teams a lot back in the day, and the guys would get upset because guys didn't shower. Who is the NBA player that would never shower?
Adam Morrison.
Yeah, Adam Morrison, great college player, never showered, Eddie.
How you know, Coop?
I remember that
Laker
story.
History. Yeah, it's a great story. It's one of the wonderful stories.
It sounds like some sort of vegan thing.
I got to tell you, though, that wouldn't that be this? If you were to create a super player, all right, the unguardable player. Forget Jordan, LeBron, Kobe, any of these legends. You take a guy that doesn't shower and has gas and is like fart man, like old Howard Stern character. If you could create that, who would want to play defense? Who would want to get physical with that player?
Well, you eat a lot of garlic. Is that ever a problem for you?
I do have a flatulence problem with the garlic. Occasionally,
More of the breath than the other.
I brush my teeth and stuff. I take care of that. But the garlic does create. It moves a lot of stuff around your innards. A lot of your innards get moved around.
Is that right?
Yeah, I love the garlic though. The garlic.
I know you do.
Yeah. And it helps. Listen, my wife was sick for like a month. She was coughing.
How is that possible? I mean, you're Dr. Garlic. Just put some garlic in her mouth.
I'm explaining the story, Eddie.
Well, it took her a month to be sick before
She said, I said, take the garlic, you'll be fine. She said, I'd rather be sick, is what she said. So she was sick. And I started feeling like I was coming down with it. I took the garlic on an empty stomach, and boom, 24 hours later, completely gone, felt wonderful. Telling you. Now, I did have a little part, you know, toot, toot. I had that problem, but that's all right. I can overcome it. I'm all right with it.
That's the best part.
Yeah. So we got the Raptors championship parade completely wrong, Eddie. I was thinking someone would be eating horse feces. That did not happen.
Someone was eating lead.
We always hear that in Canada, there are better people than us. There's less gun violence in Canada. There's hardly any gun violence in Canada. Oh, yeah? How about Canadians are like, oh, yeah, America, we'll show you. About that, four people shot at the Raptors parade.
That's not that many.
Holy maple syrup, Batman! I mean, were they? What happened there, Eddie?
Nobody died. I don't know.
Yeah, how did no one die though?
Somebody was a really bad shot because they don't handle guns often. Like,
were they low caliber guns or something like that? I mean, four people get shot. Wow, that's wild, man. I look in some of the photos.
Were they shooting this gun up in the air, or what was going on?
I don't know. I haven't seen any real detail on the story. Just a lot of people repeating the same things about the parade and the Kawhi Leonard. They were chanting his name and trying to get him to stay. And
Didn't he say, "I'm a Raptor for now"?
No, he said, "Enjoy this." Is what he said basically.
Yeah, he was living his life in a "Bored Man Gets Paid" shirt. He had that on during the parade.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Well, because remember, we learned there was a big feature story during the NBA Finals that said when he was at San Diego State, shout out Aztecs, and hanging out in San Diego, that Kawhi Leonard would yell, "Bored Man Gets Paid," when he would grab a rebound or something like that. And he was very odd, just like he is now, and would say these weird phrases, just like yelling them out and all that. So
I saw he mocked his own weird laugh thing.
Yeah, at the end of it there. Yeah. I'm sorry. Seemed a little.
It wasn't as good as that.
Choreographed, I think, would be the way there. Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So the basketball world continues to react here to the trade, which is not even official yet. It's not all kosher and done, but the trade, the blockbuster trade. Oh, my God. The whole block has been destroyed by that awful smell of the Anthony Davis trade. It's supposed to be official. We've noticed a constant mantra that has taken place since the report over the weekend when Woj dropped the bomb. And it needs to be discussed. It involves the Lakers front office, because I have seen this and I've observed this, and it just makes my mind spin. And so I wanted to talk about it with you. So if you've not paid attention, maybe you've missed it, maybe you've been out of loop here. The media establishment, the NBA media establishment, has decided that even though the trade is not yet official, all the T's haven't been crossed, the I's dotted, that this is worthy of praise for Rob Pelinka. Right? That this is the embattled GM of the Lakers, Rob Pelinka, deserves extra credit, an extra cookie, okay, because of this transaction. There are people that are gushing over Rob Pelinka, his ability to pull off the blockbuster trade. Some examples. These are some things that have been said the last 24 hours since the mainstream media started dissecting the proposed Anthony Davis trade for six players, draft picks included. Great job by Rob Pelinka. Give Pelinka credit. Jalen Rose said he gave all the credit to Rob Pelinka. That's what he said. Of course, we should point out that Rob Pelinka and Jalen Rose, I believe, were teammates at the University of Michigan, so that might have something to do with it. We can go on and on here. So let us discuss the question, should Rob Pelinka, who's in charge of the Laker basketball operations, be celebrated for the proposed Anthony Davis trade? Yeah, I mean, come on. Of course not. Okay? Of course. You don't get celebrated in you know, I'll walk you through this. But yeah, I got the 12-year-old snake oil and the boner. And we will combine all these things together into a nice gift basket. Okay? Now, number one, the jury is still out on how successful this trade will be. We don't know if Davis and LeBron James are going to assimilate together. I have my doubts because of the risk factors involved in this. Now, the Lakers feel like they had no choice. They had to make the trade. Not to rehash the things we've talked about already, because I like to think you listen to every word I say, but there's a lot of people making assumptions that are not based on facts. Many reasons to be skeptical whether this Anthony Davis-LeBron James partnership is going to be like Batman and Robin, peanut butter and jelly, or oil and water. You don't know yet, right? But if you look at this objectively, the unibrow has never had to take a backseat to anyone in his brief career in the NBA. There is not a single man, woman, or child who is around LeBron James that is not an underling of King James. So you are now going to be a supporting actor, Anthony Davis to LeBron James. You might say, well, it doesn't matter. He doesn't care about that. He wants to do that. Okay. Okay. We'll see if that's the case in January and February and March and what. You also have extreme health red flags that have popped up here. LeBron James is going to be 35 years old next postseason. Anthony Davis has been a modern medical marvel, and not for the good reasons. We've talked about this ad nauseum. 25 injuries in 8 seasons, made out of glass. And all that aside, even if you can overlook that, we're talking about Rob Pelinka. That was the origin of this. You could have hired a 12-year-old child and made this trade. So why would you credit Pelinka? You know what I'm saying? Rob Pelinka, you know how much credit he gets? Zero. He gets no credit. No credit for this. He essentially offered the same thing Magic Johnson offered. Right? Magic said, you can have whatever you want. The Lakers said, you can have whatever you want with Pelinka. And so it's the same concept here. The same concept applies as when Magic Johnson was running the front office. We know how this went down. This was done by people that work with LeBron James, his people. Okay? The inner circle, the kingdom of King James, played a distinct role in this. We aren't talking about open heart surgery and analyzing all that. We are discussing an NBA trade where Rich Paul, the power broker Rich Paul, that shady actor, teamed up with David Griffin, who wouldn't even have a job in the NBA if it wasn't for LeBron James. David Griffin, who rode LeBron's coattails in Cleveland. So David Griffin, who's now in charge of the Pelicans, a former LeBron toady, these two got together to make it happen. If the Pelicans had hired a general manager who was not in the tank for LeBron James, do you think that Anthony Davis would be a Laker or, I don't know, a Nugget, a Knick, a Celtic? Yeah, I'm going to go with one of those other teams. Period. Stop. Okay? But that didn't happen. And you know, to the victor goes the spoil, the spoils of this. And LeBron James, fortunately, one of his former GMs, took over. Now, the second thing here, Rob Pelinka as a person is a hot mess. Anthony Davis trade or no Anthony Davis trade, you got to deal with the reality of the situation. This guy has no business running an NBA front office. I don't care if they got Anthony Davis and LeBron James as the base. We are talking about a snake oil salesman, this guy Pelinka. He's just shady. He's a shady character. He was the guy, speaking of riding coattails, he rode LeBron James, the guy that was LeBron before LeBron, Kobe Bryant, he rode that gravy train to the top of the mountain with the Lakers. And he's not going to be able to live down, no matter what he does, that lunch date with the dead actor. Heath Ledger. is going to haunt Rob Pelinka as long as he is around the NBA world. And also Magic Johnson calling him out as a backstabber on television. These things have legs. These things aren't going to go away. And maybe you'll forget them, but I have the memory of an elephant. I have the memory of an elephant. I will not forget these things. I will not. Now, the final point on this, and we're discussing the reaction by some in the media, the establishment, who are just lavishing Rob Pelinka with praise for a trade that is not yet official, but is soon to be official for Anthony Davis. Now, the real heavy lifting for the Lakers is what's left. They have, I think, five players on the roster. Five players. Does anyone have any level of confidence that Rob Pelinka and Linda Rambis will put this roster together, a championship roster? Do you think that they're going to figure this out? Yeah. It's a little bit of an awkward situation. So we must discuss the Komodo Dragon in the room here. What is the Komodo Dragon in the room? I've called it, and I think this is a proper name, Pelinka's boner. All right, Rob Pelinka's boner. Because of the timing of the trade being botched, and we have, by multiple media reports, the trade will be done July 6th. In order for this to work out for the Lakers, they have to somehow convince the Pelicans to not complete the trade till July 30th. Now, why is that? Because if the trade is completed July 6th, they have screwed themselves out, the Lakers, of a third max salary slot. So they've screwed up trying to get one of the top line players in the NBA. The Lakers no longer will have the max contract space left to sign someone to a full max contract like Kyrie Irving and Kemba Walker. The only way that works out for the Lakers is if, well, the NBA would have to allow this. I don't even know why the NBA would allow this, to wait over a month. You're going to have a player drafted Thursday. The Lakers haven't traded the pick yet, so the Lakers will announce they've drafted whoever with the number four pick, and that particular player is going to have to wait a month before they can be introduced with the team they're actually going to be playing for, whether it's the Pelicans or the Pelicans trade that player to the Washington Wizards or somewhere else. I mean, that's a mess. They're essentially in limbo, and the Lakers need the Pelicans to be in limbo until July 30th. So it is more profitable and for the Lakers, in the short term, they get Anthony Davis. In the long term, it's not that profitable because now they've messed up the rest of it. And it's more probable than not that the purple and gold are going to need someone to take a little less money to sign one of the top line free agents to sign with the Lakers and live in one of the most expensive cities in the United States and take less money to do it, where they just take 55 cents of every dollar on taxes, and you're going to have to take less to, yeah, okay. I'm sure that's realistic that would work out. All right, so the Ben Maller Show on Fox as we press on here from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas, Solid Gold, Nine Def Garcia.
Hello, Ben Maller.
Yes, hello. I was happy. I wanted to go back to the Raptors parade. We talked about it last hour. I was happy that the Raptors did not announce that they had like the seventh largest gathering in human history, like the Cubs when they won the World Series a couple years ago. Remember that?
Yeah, and you've talked about this before. How do they come up with these numbers? Yeah, 1.5 million was what they said apparently in Toronto. Yeah.
Spitballing, close, whatever.
I mean, it did look like a lot of people, but how do they come up with these specific numbers? Don't know.
Yeah. Well, even like the other, like the pilgrimage to Mecca, it had 30 million people back, a few years back, or any of these events. The funeral of the Ayatollah in Iran, they said there were 10 million people there. You're guessing. Why stop at 10? Why not go 100 million? But when the Cubs had their championship parade a couple years back, they claimed there were 5 million people there. 5 million people. And I every parade I look at it, I mean, there's a lot of people. There were tons. I saw photos of the Raptors parade. There were a lot of people there. The crowd was thick, and it was all over the city and all that. It was all over.
What do you mean by thick, Ben?
There were fat people. So what do you think I meant by that?
So now with this shooting incident, you've got people saying we need to do something about these large gatherings. We can't have all these people gathering because there's the potential for danger. And
so, we should do anything that's risky. We should not do. We should not drive cars,
of course,
because you could get into an accident and die and get injured.
There's that aspect of it. Yes,
you shouldn't eat because you could choke and then you'll die that way. So you shouldn't do that. People have died on the toilet. You shouldn't go to the bathroom. That's a problem.
Well, it was Elvis. I don't know who else.
There's other people that have died.
That's a good way to go.
We should limit all risk. We should get any liability. We should get rid of all liability if it's risky. Yes, because there's bad people out there that are going to do bad things. So we should have no public gatherings at all because some nut job could do something untoward. I think it makes sense. That's a good strategy.
That actually reminds me, Ben.
Justin Cooper, everyone, right there. Yes.
I wanted to bring this up to you. Speaking of bad people doing bad things.
Okay.
Or nut jobs.
When did Costco become a war zone?
No, I saw that. Did you see the follow-up?
Three separate Costco incidences in the last 2 days. A shooting at two different ones, and then something else happened.
People like Ben think it's the happiest place on earth, and but you have to admit that there are times when you get in there and people are just packed in. Trying, you know, they're bumping into their carts, they're running over people. It can be a little stressful for some people.
I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. I've not ever told this story on the air before, but I'm gonna tell you what happened. Okay, this happened more than one time. So occasionally we go to Costco every week. Me and the wife there every week we go to Costco, right? And sometimes she wants to go on Friday, but I don't want to go on Friday because there's no samples. Usually they don't have a lot of samples there. By the time we want to go, it's too, you know, I sleep during the day and the samples are usually gone. And so we made an agreement, me and the wife. So she said, well, if we go to Costco on Friday after the samples are done, I'll drop you off on Saturday and you can just walk around and eat samples.
So get out of here, dude.
I swear to God. So
it's like taking a little kid to the park.
Yeah.
I'll drop you off. You can go play for a while.
So she... My wife will drop me off, and she'll sit in the car, whatever, and I'll walk around and go through the sample, like a couple laps around the samples, and then I'll leave. And it's awesome. It's really empowering, Eddie. It's great.
It's empowering?
Yes, because I'm not buying anything. I'm just there for the samples. I'm not even pretending like I need to look for any products or anything like that. I don't need to worry about the big jar of mayonnaise. I'm just there to get the samples. That's it. And I'll double fist the samples. I don't care about that. I mean, I'm going for it, right? I'm making my move. You should try it sometime, Eddie. It's a lot of fun.
Do you own any stock in Costco?
Too expensive. I can't afford it. I wish I had purchased it long ago because that would have been I do not own it.
So do you take a sample of everything just on principle? I mean, even if you really don't like it that much?
If it's vegetable-based, I do not. I usually avoid the vegetable stuff.
Oh, the veggie burger sample. Nasty.
Yeah. And there's every once in a while I have some weird fish dish, and I don't like the fish.
I take every sample no matter what.
What a surprise.
Do you?
I'm stunned. Nasty.
But it's really cool when you go and you're just there to do the samples and there's no one else, because you can go and you can do the loop-de-loop, and it's so busy on Saturday afternoon
and Sunday.
Like I pretty much stand out. Like I can't hide in the crowd because of my my appearance or whatever. So I'm always kind of goofy looking and weird and stuff. But I do like the fact that with so many people there, I can kind of sneak up and stick my hand out and grab a couple of cookies and then keep moving. It's good.
I love when they have the special displays. You know, the company comes in and sets it up.
They're not the... Now, Costco outsources the samples.
Right.
Right, but these are other people. You're right.
Yes. The specific brands, like when Popcornopolis comes in there.
That's a good one.
That was a good one.
That's a good one. Yeah. They have different sausages sometimes that will come through there. Yeah, that's good.
The grass-fed sausage, hot dog sausages that they have, those are really good, man.
That's solid.
Ben's wife drops him off.
Yeah. It's a deal. It's all about compromise, Eddie. We had to come up to an agreement because otherwise I was like, we're not going to go on a Friday. I want to wait until Saturday when there's prime sample time.
I mean, Friday during the day is probably one of the best
By the time I wake up, though. So in fact, I actually got some intel from one of the women that was giving out the samples. She said they close up shop at 4 o'clock. So you got to get there before 4 o'clock.
Yeah, definitely.
So
I can get there at Friday. On Fridays, I can get there like at 12 o'clock.
1 p.m., I think, is prime sample time.
Yeah.
I've determined between noon and 2 is the Goldilocks zone for Costco samples. Okay? Goldilocks zone. It's perfect. All life lives and breathes in the Goldilocks zone at Costco.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
And we bring in a man who misses real talk and admitted it on the air, Kubaloo.
Now, it may not have been quite the haul that the Lakers just gave up, but the Raptors did give up a lot for Kawhi Leonard. Now, let's assume that Kawhi does leave, whether it's for the Clippers or another team. Toronto got a championship.
Yeah,
so was it worth it, Ben?
Yeah, I'm going to go yes on this. I'm going to go 100%. It was absolutely worth it. Hey, the Raptors were at a crossroads as a franchise. It looked like they had plateaued with that group of players, a good regular season team, iffy in the playoffs, a lot of vanishing acts there. I never thought the Raptors would ever win a title. I've told the story. I saw them as an expansion team when they had Barney the Dinosaur on their uniform, and it's amazing that they're the champions of the NBA. But this is a forever prize, so it's worth it. I mean, yes, absolutely. And B, Pascal Siakam is pretty good as a young player. So Toronto, assuming Kawhi leaves, they'll be competitive. They're not the favorite. They'll be a long shot to win the championship, but it's a good deal. The gamble paid off, and you know, now that these guys have a lifetime of free meals and perks that go with being part of a championship team. Next!
After the Red Sox swept the Orioles this past weekend, Sox catcher Christian Vasquez declared as he walked by the media in the clubhouse and said, "Hey guys, we're back."
Yes. I saw that. Yeah.
Are the Red Sox back, Ben?
No, he's a douche. I mean, listen, absolutely not. Now, you don't get to take a victory lap when you beat the Orioles, okay? Baltimore's a minor league team masquerading as a major league team. They're going to lose 110 games or more. They are a minor league team, but you get credit with major league wins when you beat a team like the Orioles. Same thing goes when you beat the Marlins. The Marlins in the National League are a minor league outfit. They're not even trying to win. They're an embarrassment. Derek Jeter's a fraud as an owner. Now, secondly, the real measuring stick for the Sox is going to be this week against the Twins. They got off to a good start. They beat the Twins in the game on Monday night. And you've got games with the Yankees, Rays, and Astros upcoming. Heading into Monday, which the Red Sox did beat the Twins, okay, which is fine, but Boston had played 20 games against those other teams, the Yankees, Rays, and Astros. They were 7-13. That's a 350 winning percentage, not very good. So from this point forward, it's all prologue, right? It's all prologue at this point, but no, you don't get credit for the Orioles beating the Orioles. Next!
There was a report yesterday that said the Rams are not planning on extending Sean McVay anytime soon. Uh-oh. Ben, are you worried that McVay will leave as a coaching free agent in a few years?
No, I'm not worried at all. I'm staying up all night. Does that mean I'm worried? I have a job, though. I have to stay up all night. No. Listen, under no circumstances, right? First of all, Sean McVay is under contract for 3 seasons to go. He has yet to win a Super Bowl. Generally speaking, if you lose the Super Bowl, you don't tear up a contract and pay that coach. If you win the Super Bowl, they tear up the contract and give you a new deal. So don't misinterpret this to mean that Sean McVay is going to, you know, go out and leave the Rams at any point. And secondly, if I'm Rams ownership, I wait to pay Sean McVay. I am still upset that he acted like a starry-eyed teenage girl before the Super Bowl, right, that childlike crush on Bill Belichick, right, so smitten for Belichick's attention, it was pathetic in the biggest game of his life, the biggest game for the Rams, the LA Rams of all time. It's embarrassing, right? So the way I look, wait a minute, they're going to move into the Taj Mahal of football stadiums here, the Rams, after one more season at the Mausoleum, and they'll be in that new stadium, and it'll be fine, it'll be flush with money, it'll be great, and they'll be able to pay McVay whatever he wants, so I'm fine with this. All right, there it is, Maller to the third degree. How did we do?
You passed this edition.
That is a win! I dedicate this to Real Talk, former caller of the year. Come back, Real Talk. Everything is forgiven. Please, I beg of you to come back.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Now, Maller's Mountain of Money.
Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
Do you have what it takes to get to the top? Probably not.
The Kendrick Lamar edition, I am told, of Maller's Mountain of Money. For what that's worth. Maybe it's his birthday or something. I don't know. We have our contestants. We have the Bread Man.
He's 32 years old today.
There you go. Bread Man in New Orleans. Hello, Bread Man.
Yo, what's going on?
You ready to do this? Eh? Okay. You
sound- yeah, I guess so.
Okay. You guess so. That's a good that's a good outlook. And you're delivering bread all over New Orleans? Is that what you're doing, Bread
Man? Nah, man.
No?
I'm delivering donuts.
Oh, donuts. Even better.
Yeah.
What's the most popular donut in the bayou?
I guess the glazed donut.
Just your traditional glazed donut? Okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
Right. I mean, we got hundreds of different kinds, but
yeah,
most popular is the glazed.
I got you. I got you. All right, hold on a sec. Bread Man is really the donut man, and you will be playing, and I guess we'll have MGM John back. He'll play. Hello, MGM John.
Pokey, 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 Mr. Ben Maller.
There he is, MGM John. He loves these game shows. All right, hold on a sec, buddy. Looks at the MGM in Vegas. And Breadman slash Donut Man, who do you want to partner up with? You can play with me, Ben, Eddie, Roberto, or Coop DeLoop.
I guess I'll take you, Ben.
All right. That's a ringing endorsement. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And hold on a sec. And MGM John, who do you want to partner up with, MGM John?
I'm going with the Raiders' number one fan, Mexican Roberto.
Okay. So that is the matchup. We select,
racist.
We should select the categories here. Bread Man, we'll put you back on there. What are the categories here, Coop, on this edition?
All right, gentlemen. As Ben said, this is the Kendrick Lamar edition, 32 years old today. The categories are as follows: ADHD, humble, DNA.
You're all choked up.
Yep. And loyalty.
Loyalty. All right, so pick a category, Bread Man. Which one do you want?
Loyalty.
Loyalty. All right, yeah, you got good loyalty. I like that. And what about you, MGM John?
I'm going with humble.
Humble. Okay. So those are the categories. Roberto, you're going to start with humble. I'll start with loyalty. We'll pause for the cause, and then in its entirety, Maller's Mountain of Money, one of these two people is going to win a golden ticket. I think I know the answer. It's going to be the Bread Man. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
And back to it we go. It is time now for Maller's Mountain of Money, the Kendrick Lamar edition. The teams, the Bread Man, delivering donuts all over New Orleans, teamed up with me, Ben, and MGM John from Lost Wages, Nevada. And he is going to team up with Roberto. And that is the matchup. Everyone ready to go. We've already picked the categories here. So the category that Breadman picked was loyalty. And these athletes all stayed with one team their whole career. So are you ready to go, Breadman? Hello, Breadman. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. All right, very good. So here we go. You ready? First and last name. Put 45 seconds on the clock, and here we go. All right. Broncos Hall of Fame quarterback in the 1980s. He's now the GM of the Broncos.
John Elway.
That is correct. Lions running back. Detroit Lions' greatest running back ever, many say, for the
Barry
Lions.
Sanders.
Correct. Three-point shooter for the Indiana Pacers of the 1980s.
Reggie Miller.
Correct. He, quarterback for the old San Diego Chargers. He had a big beard in the 1980s.
Dan Fouts.
Correct. Good job. 1980s Celtics, not Larry Bird, but his wingman, center, a power forward, rather, for the Celtics in the 80s.
Kevin McHale.
Correct. Colorado Rockies first baseman played quarterback at Tennessee with Peyton Manning. Around that time, Peyton Manning was at Tennessee. Pass. Oh, all right. All right.
You were missing Todd Helton there.
Yeah, we didn't get to the 100-point question, but that's all right.
That's 160 points for you guys.
Good job by you.
Moving over to MGM John and Roberto. You guys have the category humble. These are/were some of the most humble athletes around. 45 seconds. Oh, you got to punch up MGM John there.
Hold on a sec here. We'll put you on. Go ahead.
All right. Some of the most humble athletes around. 45 seconds on the clock. First and last name. Begin.
All right. Just won the NBA title with the Raptors. Expert.
Kawhi Leonard.
Won the national championship with the Florida Gators. Was drafted by the Denver Broncos. Playing minor.
Tim Tebow.
Longtime wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals. He's still with the team right now. Drafted at the University of Pittsburgh.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Longtime. This safety went to USC. Longtime Steeler. He's got long hair. Samoan.
Corey Palomalu.
This catcher won four World Series with the Yankees. Puerto Rican descent. He was a switch hitter.
Jorge Posada.
Wow. Yeah. All right. The small forward shooting guard played with the Celtics. Won 8 NBA titles. Went to Ohio State.
Yeah, good luck.
This guy got.
We're tied.
You missed John Havlicek, who just passed Havlicek away
stole
recently.
The ball. Havlicek stole the ball.
Yeah. Hondo.
Who goes first?
You guys are tied, so I guess it goes back to you, Ben.
All right. Let me see. Put Breadman up.
Breadman, would you like ADHD or DNA?
DNA.
All right, it's DNA. Okay.
All right. Being a pro athlete was in these guys' DNA. They're all their parents are also pro athletes. 45 seconds on the clock. Begin.
All right. Star for the Golden State Warriors, not Klay Thompson, but
Steph Curry.
Correct. Dodgers star, leading baseball in All Star votes this year. Big home run hitter for the Dodgers in 2019. No. All right, pass.
No.
Wow. All right. He's the manager of the Yankees. His father was Bob. His brother was Brett. He manages the New York Yankees right now. Pass. All right. I can tell you didn't have it. Star of the Orlando Magic and the Detroit Pistons in the 90s.
Grant Hill.
Correct. Wow. Doc's son, the Clippers coach, his son.
Austin Rivers.
Correct. The outfielder, his father was. Oh, all right. Well, I didn't do that well.
All right.
Not a baseball guy.
Yeah, doesn't know baseball. You missed Cody Bellinger, Aaron Boone, and then
Aaron Boone.
Yeah, so you're about to do Moises Alou, but didn't really get to that. 270 points. So, still a chance. Roberto and MGM John, you have ADHD.
Hey, John, don't choke, John. Don't choke, MGM John.
Oh, classy move,
don't feel the pressure, John.
Let's go, John. Let's go, John.
Don't let the moment be too big, MGM
All right,
John.
Ben's trying to delay so you don't have enough time.
Don't let the stage get in your
go
way.
Coop, just start talking.
All right, these athletes have all been diagnosed with ADD or ADHD. 45 seconds on the clock. Begin.
The greatest basketball player of all time. Won 6 titles with the Chicago Bulls.
Michael Jordan?
That's right. Currently assistant coach for the Lakers. Won the NBA title with the Dallas Mavericks. Triple-double.
Jason Kidd.
Yes.
Currently broadcast for Fox. NFL Sundays. Won 4 titles with the Steelers.
Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah. Greatest wide receiver of all time. Greatest swimmer of all time. Greatest swimmer of all time.
I like you just saying, keep repeating that.
This guy won the World Series with the Phillies and the Boston Red Sox. He's Hawaiian. The Flying Hawaiian.
He might be
the
too
greatest
long.
Track and field athlete of all time.
Whoa. Oh, my goodness.
Ben wins.
He's a winner. He choked. MGM John.
Man.
He's a loser.
John, you don't know the best swimmer of all time?
Oh, man.
Wait, what was it?
He's too young. He doesn't know
the best swimmer of all time. Most gold medals
that was
ever.
An easy one, dude.
Michael Phelps.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks now, bro. Not any good now.
I choked, Roberto.
Yeah, you
I
did choke.
It doesn't matter. You're a loser. You lost, MGM John. Breadman, you win like a delicious glazed donut. You get a golden ticket.
Classic Raiders performance.
Oh, man.
Hey, take it easy, man.
Congratulations, Brett, man. You're a champion. You're a winner at life. You're a great person. We love you, and you beat this guy, MGM John. So thank you. You win a golden ticket. And what that was MGM John being up 3-0.
Yeah.
And then losing. It was set up.
Michael Phelps, dude.
Oh, jeez. My God. I like how you just kept repeating the same thing over and over again.
I didn't know what else to say about Michael. That's the greatest swimmer of all time.
Olympics, weed. I don't know. You can throw some other stuff out. But it doesn't matter because I won the game.
Oh, man.
Winner.